Tonight I want to speak about humility is a friend to prayer. I got that title from a Spurgeon message, only the title. I think the title is beautiful. Humility is a friend of prayer. And so turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 1. We'll move around a little bit. It will not be long because the principle is simple but profound. Humility. Something that we all need to repeat through our lives. Jacob said it when he said, "I am not worthy of the least of the mercies of God," in Genesis 32:10. I want to draw a picture and think of a man in a small room. So it goes like this. Here's a man, and he's in a small room. And you think of the psalmist, Psalm 18, "God has set me in a large room." But I think many times we live in a small room. And this is because we are emotional, we are troubled. In 1 Samuel 1, there is a woman who cannot have children. Her name is Hannah. And Hannah, in chapter 1, we read here in verse 5, "But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion. Her husband gave her a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her womb." This is a good illustration for how life can be for us, that in a way we don't get what we want. We may suffer, may not have the money I need. I might have problems in my family. In this case, she cannot have children. That trouble may work humility in me, but it might work bitterness in me. I might become angry. Anger is a good thought about anger. Anger is good for people. I think anger is a part of life. We could be angry, but for how long will we be angry? For an hour, a minute, a week, a month, a year, a lifetime. If I'm angry for a lifetime, then I'm in a small room. I don't see. I don't understand life. But how will I understand life unless I am humble? I need to be humble because I need God to show me that he put me in a big room. I need to understand more than the fact I cannot have children or the fact that I am in a prison, as Paul said, as he was a prisoner in Ephesians 3:1, he said, "I am a prisoner of the Lord." So let's make the room bigger. When I'm a prisoner of Rome, my room is small. But when I see it differently, and I say, "God put me here. God made me a prisoner. I am a prisoner. But I am a prisoner of the Lord. Not a prisoner of Rome. I am a prisoner of Rome." But remember, he said this. This is in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 1. "I'm a prisoner of the Lord." And he repeats it in 4:1. And when he, in humility, he saw, and he wrote the book of Ephesians, and he said, "Actually, I am seated in heavenly places." Come on. Yes, I am. I'm seated in heaven. That's bigger. That's a big room. I'm seated in heavenly places. And he wrote the book of Ephesians in prison in a small room. So he is in a small room, but actually, what does he see? How does he understand life? Who is he worshiping? What is the Holy Spirit saying to him? How is he processing his situation? Prayer is connected with humility, and humility is the ability to get so small before God and recognize who God is. So this is the story in 1 Samuel chapter 1 with Hannah, and she is very broken by her situation. And she was in bitterness, verse 10. She was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. I don't think that's a bad thing at all. I don't think life is always a party. I think there can be weeping in the night, of course. And there is pain in life. And it's so easy to become angry or bitter. But again, I cannot be that way for long, extended periods of time, because God has not called us to that. He said, these words have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world tribulation, in the world a small room, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Now, I agree with everybody here that I want that. I agree with you, Pastor. I know what you're saying. I agree with you. Help me get it. And I would say that's exactly what we're all saying. Preach to me the word that leads me. When I was a child, I thought like a child. I spoke as a child. What was it? I understood as a child. But when I became a man, and that man word is a big word, I think it means I became a man. My world was from God. And I believed, and I saw, and I lived in faith, and the Spirit filled me and met me in my life, helped me, spoke to me, comforted me. This is the comforter. This is why there are people who have found prayer in very big and difficult, very challenging circumstances, like Hannah. It was crushing to her. She was provoked by the enemy. Doesn't it say that? In verse 6, and her adversary also provoked her sore. Do you know who her adversary was? The other woman in the house who was bearing children. The other woman, the man had two wives. The other wife was bearing children, and she looked at Hannah and provoked her, mocked her for her barrenness. But which one was humble? Which one found grace? Which one was, it worked in the woman, this need, and she was able to say in real humility before God, I trust you. I trust you. There's a couple examples of this in the scripture, actually probably many of them, but two that come to my mind. Jacob is troubled with Esau, and Jacob goes before him, before God, with this need, and he wrestles with God. Remember the wrestling match. You know, prayer, it has a friend. Humility has a friend, and it's prayer. How long would we pray for? Jesus said the woman would come to the unjust judge and just keep on at it. She just kept at it. the unjust judge until he would hear her case. And he did out of weariness. He used it to say that we got to have something going on in our heart, in our spirit. There's something that we want God to move in us. And it seems, like it says in James 4, he gives grace to the humble. And broken people like Jacob got to wrestle with God. What an amazing thing. Like Jacob was given the privilege of wrestling with God. Wow, I would like that. I would like that. The other example is David, who is showered with these promises about his family lineage and the dynasty of his family, and his seed would sit on a throne forever, speaking of the Messiah. And David goes in before God with great humility. Let's take a look at it. 2 Samuel 7:15. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, 7:15. 7:18. Then went King David in and sat before the Lord and said, "Who am I? Who am I, O Lord God?" You know what that is? You know what that is? It's humility. Who am I? You know, let's draw a bad picture of David. Usually we think of him, he's the meek, humble shepherd boy. But he's also like a terrorist. He's a guerrilla fighter. He's a bloody man. He's a general. He's the head of, he's a king. He's the head of the country. And he can say, you know, "My hands are bloody. Who am I that you would say this?" But he knows God. And he knows that God is giving him this because God is the God of all grace. That God is the one that cares about David and the covenant. And David said, "Who am I?" This is an expression of humility. So, "What is my house that you have brought me hitherto? And this was yet a small thing in thy sight, O Lord God. But thou hast spoken also of your servant's house for a great while to come. And is this the manner of man, O Lord God?" Is this how it goes? That a man would sit on the throne forever? And what can David say more unto thee? "For thou, Lord, thou God, knowest thy servant. For thy word's sake and according to thine own heart, you have done this great things to make your servant know them." Okay. Let's see. Prayer is like a doorway into the very reality of God. God has a big throne room, a large throne room in heaven. We read in Revelations 4 and 5. I would like to be there in that room. And the Lord says, "You are." And we somehow say, "Who am I that you would be doing these things for me, that you'd be showering me with your grace, that your Holy Spirit would be upon us and in us?" I was just in Paris, France last weekend, and thank you so much for your prayers and your love and the mystery of the body of Christ, not seeing those people for 3 years, meeting them, and as if I had seen them yesterday, we were together as a family. And in our fellowship, we are in a big room. And in that big room, there are so many important things that come to our minds. In that big room, there's so much answer to our life and our troubles. In that big room, there is so much hope and so much encouragement. And in that big room, there is so much love that Paul could say, I am a prisoner of Rome. No. I'm a prisoner of the Lord. We could say, I have failed 7 times 70 times, and I feel very bad about it. But in the big room, I don't know, somehow I have failed many times, but I have seen something. I am seeing something greater than me. I'm seeing something greater than my failure. I'm seeing Him. Psalm 73. None do I have in heaven but Him. None on earth but Him. And then none in heaven but Him. In verse 26. So, Hannah, we'll finish with this. Hannah is praying so passionately in her heart. He is so broken. Verse 13. She spoke, and only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. I think her voice was not heard because, in a sense, she's in another place. She's in a communion. She's in fellowship. She's doing business with God. Doing business with God. Wow. Imagine what you and I have in us that we could wrestle with God. Wow. I'm not letting you go. I'm not letting you go until you bless me. How could you do that? I think God gives grace to the humble. God hears the cry of the broken, the cry of the prisoner. I think God respects people. And I was thinking of this too, that some people that get the answers to their prayers in the little room, they're in the little room and they get the answers to the prayer. This is Psalm 106:15, and it goes like this. They wanted flesh to eat. God gave them the desires of their heart and sent leanness into their soul. They got what they prayed for, but they got leanness in their soul. Don't always like go after the things in the small room. Go after the things that are beyond us. Go after the things that require faith. Look at what is invisible. Go after the things that really count. Go after the eternal. Go after the vision that is in the heart of God. Go after the things that... And maybe Hannah did say, if you give me a child, I will give him back to you. And somehow it looks like, sounds like she's making a deal, like she's doing business with God, that there's somehow something happening. And I think the picture is beautiful because we have this ability. God invites us into this because you have Christ in you and you can pray and you can keep at it and you can fellowship with Him and you can move mountains. And you can do something in this life. And He can lead us in it. And like the humble, like go into this fellowship like in Ephesus. And he writes the book of Ephesians. And he's seeing, I am seated in heavenly places. We are endowed with spiritual blessing. All spiritual blessing. We are showered with it. God is for us and not against us. We are able, we can run through a troop, leap over a wall. We can speak the word in season. We have a ministry of life. We can love our neighbor, love our sister, our brother, love our enemy. We can love our country. We can love the world we are living in the right way. We can have a ministry here. We can care about people because we have a prayer life where we literally spend time with God in a big room. And in that prayer life, I don't know. Jesus said, I will see you in secret, but reward you openly. I will hear your prayer, and I will answer you. Ask, and it will be given. Knock, it will be open. Seek, you will find. Really? Yes. But is it always the little answers in this room, or is it more? And Hannah said this, we'll finish up. 1 Samuel chapter 2. Hannah prayed, verse 1. I said, my heart rejoices in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over my enemies because I rejoice in thy salvation. I think she's saying, I am boasting. By the way, do you know that sometimes when you are winning all the time, people don't like it? If you are winning all the time, they don't like it. Do you know that? They don't like it. And that's really, I understand that. But I also want to say, Hannah is boasting. She is winning. She is saying, oh, God has been good to me. God gave me a son. God heard my prayer. God heard my cry. God answered my prayer. God exalts the humble. Blessed are the poor in spirit. How does it go? For theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are the pure in heart. They shall see God. We will see it. Let's go to verse 2. There is none holy as the Lord. There is none beside thee. Neither is there any rock like our God. Talk no more so exceeding proudly. Like she might be thinking of the other woman in the house who was mocking and provoking her. But she's saying, you know, you may have all that you want, but it's in a little house. And so, but the minute, you know, it doesn't work, you're in trouble. It might be good for us to be trained to get beyond what we are seeing, to get beyond what troubles us. It might be good for us to get beyond our life by a life of faith and prayer and wait upon God. And God, fill us with his spirit. Go before God and say, oh, who am I that you would visit me? Who am I that you would anoint me? Who am I that you would use me? Who am I that you would uphold me? Who am I that you would comfort me? Who am I that you would answer me? Who am I that you would put your name on me? Who am I that I'd be called by your son's name? The name of Christ. Who are we that we would be together in a family in many parts of the world, by the way? When you meet these believers in France, it's just like the same. You meet them in Finland, it's the same. And next month we go to Poland, which I heard Poland dropped their restrictions today for the vaccination. All you need is a negative test to get into the country. I don't know if things are changing all the time, but I want to say that who are we that we would have family in Poland, in Russia, in China, in India, that this family is in a big room. It's in a big room. Somebody said, I'm not in greater grace anymore. And I said, I don't care. Do you love me? Are we brothers? Can we shake hands? I don't care. I'm not in greater grace anymore. It's like whatever. It's not. It's like that's a small room. If you think of it like that, the Bible doesn't say we have to be in greater grace. The Bible says we are in Christ. We are in Christ. We are in Christ. How big is the room? It's bigger than us. It's bigger than an organization. It's bigger than a name. It's bigger than a country. It's bigger than a person. How big is the room? It's the room of God, the Almighty God. And who enters into that room? The humble. The humble will see. The humble are edified. The humble are loving. The humble are saying God has promoted the humble. God has lifted up humble people. God has given love in their hearts. God has edified them. If we have God, our doctrine will be all right. We'll come out okay as we read the Bible. If we have God, we will love each other as God has called us. If we have God, we will have prayers that move mountains. If we have God, we'll have the name of God over our head in Revelation chapter 22. And being in greater grace is an address. It's a fellowship, and we love it and respect it. But it's not the end game. The end game is a lot bigger. It's Jesus. And the humble, they will have fellowship with Jesus. And we won't talk about our churches in that way. We'll be talking about Jesus day and night, day and night. We'll be talking about what he has done. Because I could have no children, and he gave me one. Because I was sought him, and he answered me. I am so excited about it. I am so encouraged by it. I am so blessed by it. In closing, I saw the Sunday night service the next day with Jean Bohr and Hannah and Caleb. And I saw the service and the soul-winning messages and how beautiful it is. What a great thing, and I'm humbled by it. I am so thankful for what God has done. How do we exist? It is God that has done it. Who do we seek? It is God that we have sought. What are we doing? We're doing God's word, Daniel Flores. We're doing God's word. We are living by faith in God. That's the big room. Amen? Okay, that's it. Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, there are many, many times we will be broken in life. It's so easy to be angry. Some Christians are angry with God for months and years, even whole lifetimes. There are non-believers that are struggling in a world where they don't have much more than a paycheck and a glass of beer. That's all they got. And their emotions and lousy education. I want to say that. Lousy education. They don't have the wisdom of the Word of God. Scripture makes you wise unto salvation. But they have no idea what salvation is. They have a touch me, feel me, feely kind of mindset, being a victim or troubled or hurting, and they don't know where to turn. Hannah did, and so do we. Help us, Lord, reach people. Seriously. Seriously, God, help us reach people to love them, draw them, speak to them, encourage them, comfort them, counsel them, and that they would find you. They would repent, turn from them, their own little world of trouble, turn to you, and you will send the Comforter. You will enlarge their hearts, enlarge their coasts, enlarge their thoughts, open the scripture, and teach them. They will have an awesome education in God As they trust God, the humble will hear, and they will find you and know you. Lord, that we would not turn away from you. We would not stop believing and seeking, trusting, and being humble before you, Lord. Lead us and teach us prayer. For humility is a friend to prayer. In Jesus' name. And then anyone listening, you've not yet opened, started your Christian life, you've not yet turned to Christ tonight, do it. Turn to Christ tonight and say, forgive me, come into my life. Forgive me, love me, help me, show me, and fill me with your Holy Spirit. I want to experience you. I want to know you. I want to walk by faith in you. Please answer me in Jesus' name. I am saved by your grace tonight by believing in you. In Jesus' name. Amen.